is the place where real dialogue matters.
Make some noise for that sound, man.
It is time to take flight with Audio Airstrike.
That's the sound of me lifting off.
Now, here's your host, Everett Hall McNeil.
What's up, everybody? This is Audio Airstrike. I'm Everett Hall McNeil, and welcome to our year-end Airstrike Awards for the year that was 2020. I'm Everett Hall McNeil. Thank you for joining us. For those of you who are watching this on YouTube, we appreciate you. For those of you who are listening to this on SoundCloud, other podcast platforms, I definitely appreciate you as well. Let's get right down to it. I have two guests with me that have been on Audio Airstrike before in the past. For the first time in 2 years, we have a guest with us. Valentina Lopez is with us. We appreciate you for coming in. Thank you so much. And also, I got my boy, Neil Carter, dance choreographer extraordinaire, with us as well. So thank you guys for coming in.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So we're going to get right down to it. We have a series of awards to give out as to who was the best of this year. As crazy as this year was, going to be interesting to see what everybody's got to say. So right off the bat, I'm going to come in hot. Biggest culture shifting moment. Here are the nominees. A, COVID-19, the pandemic. B, the Black Lives Matter movement. Or C, the election. So ladies first, Val, I'm going to let you pick. And then Neil, you go.
Can I say D, all of the above?
Yeah.
They're all very intertwined, believe it or not. They're all somewhat intertwined. So I feel like I can't choose one. And I don't want to give importance to one of the three, because honestly, all three of them were extremely important. So I think we should talk about all three of them.
I'll go with D. You want to go with D, okay. All of the above?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we'll go D. So we'll start from we'll touch on COVID for a little bit here. I'll say like two sentences, and I'm gonna let y'all take it. When it comes to the pandemic and COVID-19 and stuff of that nature, it was culture shifting because it made a lot of things drastically happen. It made people think about their whole entire livelihood, like the physical aspect of it, the spiritual aspect of it, the mental aspect of it. And when you have such a culture shift like that, where, you know, something comes around that nobody, not really many people were expecting, that makes you think of those things on a deeper level. Because before this, I've said it to you guys before, I felt like the year before the pandemic, I felt like there was a whole lot of selfishness and everybody looking out for themselves. This kind of put everybody in check. So that's why, I mean, I think it, for me personally, I think that's the reason why COVID-19, and especially with this pandemic, kind of was a gut check for a lot of people.
I tend to agree. I think that the pandemic, what I thought was very unique about it, and it's funny because it's hard to really find anything uniquely good about it. I think the good is what we make it. But I would say that I think what's been interesting to me is how everyone was in a level of like what is this, what's next. Everybody was either struggling, everybody was hit in some way, and I found it very unique because it's like you oftentimes see this group of people who's like they're more financially stable, or you see this person here, they got their business going on. See this person hit. Everybody had their own things, and everybody was, you know, doing their own thing in their own lane. And I feel like when COVID happened, everybody was in the same position, regardless of where you were, regardless of how successful you are, regardless of what your job title was, what your background. Everybody was in the same situation in some way, shape, or form. Was impacted in some way where it shut down some area of your life in some way. And the reason I say that that was unique is because everybody had to kind of like either reset or figure things out, you know, figure out plans, what's next, you know, all those things, man. I just thought that was the most unique thing about it is I can't look at you and judge you. You know, I'm in it too. You know what I mean? It's, you know, I might not have gotten hit from the angle you've gotten hit from, but I'm still getting hit. So it's like, it's almost like we're in this thing together, whether we want to see it that way or not. We're all getting hit in some way, shape or form.
Yeah, that is a very good perspective. Yeah, that's a good perspective. I want to touch on the spiritual, the mental health, and then what you said, Neil, about kind of everybody going through this at the same time. I think that pre-COVID-19, our culture really idolizes famous people. For some reason, we are obsessed with famous people. And this was something that literally sports shut down. The music industry, well, not really the music industry, but in terms of shows and, you know, live events.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, none of this was able to happen. So what does it do? It humbles people down, and then we're able to see that nobody's above anybody, regardless of your status. Doesn't matter. In terms of mental health, I think this pandemic it's been terrible for a lot of people. Families have died. Like, a lot of people have lost loved ones. But there's always something good that comes from the darkness. That's just law of the universe, ebb and flow of life. It is what it is. And I think that with being forced to be home, it forced a lot of people to literally, you know, look within. And if, you know, they were dealing with anxieties, I think it gave people a lot of time to, you know, do some self-reflection. If they had some shit that they were dealing with, they had the time to deal with it. Hopefully they had the resources. Some people did, some people didn't. And then it brought people back to family, right? Because I think we're also obsessed with technology, and we're obsessed with social media, and we're obsessed with the external and not the internal and what's close to you. And now you're forced to be with family members and other people for X amount of time, like 24 hours a day. You don't leave your house. Like, you're dealing with everything that you avoid on a day-to-day basis pre-COVID world. I also think it was amazing for all the creative people out there, because so many people got to tap into their hobbies because you had all this free time. And I think we always have all these ideas and all these things that we want to do, and then we don't do them because we blame it on our job. We come home, we're too tired, we don't have the energy to do this, whatever. But with the pandemic, you're forced to be home. So you're kind of forced to like tap into those things that you always wanted to do. So as terrible as it is, it's also been a blessing in disguise. So I can't say that I hate COVID-19. Don't get me wrong. I do. But it forced a lot of people to do great things, face a lot of things, heal. So it's part of the plan.
I agree. I always say that this pandemic has come to show us and to teach us and to grow us. And if we don't see it from those perspectives, then we've missed it. We've missed what God is saying. We've missed what our families are saying, what our families need, the things that's most important, right? I think that this thing has really come to stretch us. And sometimes we miss it because we're focused on the front page of what's going on. And it's like, well, wait, I got my daughter, I got my wife, I got my husband, all these, you know, all this family sitting right here, and I'm ignoring all of that. So that's good. I like that. That's dope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think when you sit over here and look at the whole entire situation, it is one of those situations where it's like, you take a lot of this stuff away, like privilege and positions and fighting for a small piece of the pie. And it's like, if we don't work together and figure things out, it's going to be an issue. Like, I shouldn't have to have a debate with you over mask and hand sanitizer. I'm a throw a little, comedic purposes in here. This pandemic really revealed who actually takes care of their hygiene. I put it to you like that. It's a little bit ridiculous, man. Oh my God. Like, just
wait,
like, I'll be honest.
sorry, out of this whole toilet paper situation, you know what I said to myself? Does nobody use fucking baby wipes? Because nobody was fighting over baby wipes, but everybody was fighting over toilet paper.
I'm trying to tell y'all, I have wipes on top of the toilet, man. That's my go-to right there. Like, I don't even refill the toilet roll. I use wipes, man. It's right there. I do my thing.
Well, at least you use the wipes. Some people don't even use the wipes or toilet paper. I mean, this pandemic has really shown people, like, yo, fam, like, you dirty. Like, clean that up. Like, please. Like, look, I'm trying to help you. Clean that up. Switching gears here, we're going to get to the next choice, and that is the one that kind of hit home for a lot of people with the Black Lives Matter movement and the loss of George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and countless of others, Elijah McClain. McClain, I should say, rather. Seeing that happen and then finally seeing the response of this has gone on long enough. Like, I don't really, rarely do I yell on this show. Neil was there for almost every episode that I was yelling. When I get that agitated and upset over the same thing happening that I've been having conversations with other people about, and the same thing keeps happening, at some point it gets to a fever pitch, and I'm looking at the situation and I'm going, you know, when the whole world gets out of their seats and starts marching, and there are marches worldwide asking for leveling the playing field across the board. I'm not talking about socialism. I just talk about treating somebody that is 2, 3, 4, 5 shades darker than you the same way you would treat somebody else that's 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 shades lighter than you. You know what I mean? And that's all we are asking for. We are asking for just for everybody of any race to be treated fairly. Stop judging somebody because they're 2 shades darker than you or this or that. And this hatred, this racism stuff that was going on. And when I sit back over here and I look at all the people that came together, and I mean, and I remember I told a buddy of mine, I'm like, look, this really ain't gonna make enough noise unless Caucasian people get in the fight with us and get fed up enough to really enact change. It's one thing when you see minorities, because we get it, but when you see Caucasian males and females also standing with us and saying, look, we're tired of it. I just watched a man just get brutally attacked. I mean, and get brutally killed right in front of me for like 8 minutes and 46 seconds. I just literally watched this poor black girl get killed, not doing nothing. And nothing has been done about it. You know, and it's one of those situations where, you know, this was a big culture shift, because now you have a generation of people younger than us that are not going to put up with certain practices and tactics that are now blatantly right in front of your face.
One of my biggest issue is during this time, I had a lot of, I don't know if I should say friends, acquaintances, I don't really know which term to use, but I had people, Caucasian acquaintances, friends, whatever, who would say, oh, but Val, what if, you know, I'm talking about George, they would come up with reasons why somehow this is justified. Oh, but what if, like, let's look into his fucking background. Let's look into the kind of person he was. Okay, great. Breonna Taylor. Well, what if we're only seeing this side of blah, 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 whatever. Anything to justify their worldview. And you know what? I can understand that. Because if somebody's grew up very sheltered with a very narrow focus, then, of course, once you're given information that shocks your world, you're like, oh, no, 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 no. Ego comes up and you have to do anything but do your research, anything but listen to the person in front of you, right? So you're just going to defend yourself and you're going to try to find a reason to not believe the information that's right in front of you, even if it's like a fucking video, right? So I was very disappointed in a lot of those people because it's like, damn, like, what needs to happen for you to start taking this seriously or for this to affect you in any way? So that was very, very, I mean, it was traumatic to see. Like, it was absolutely horrible. I remember watching it with Justin, my fiance, and I was sobbing. It was absolutely fucking terrible. So the fact that people could just brush it off and try to come up with reasons to justify this, it's like, I don't know. To me, that's something that I noticed in a lot of the people that I know, and I'm like, ooh, do I really want to fuck with you anymore? Like, no. This is defining.
I'll add this little tidbit in here, Neil. I'm going to let you take it. Because, Neil, I finally understand why your stance was in the beginning, which is I'm not going to sit over here and keep explaining to people why I feel the way I feel. By the time this was settled down, I got where you was coming from. Because I was still open to explaining why. And then by the end of it, I was like, now I know why Neil doesn't explain. Because it gets annoying explaining your whole entire humanity to people that should, based on your character, understand why you were so outspoken and hurt by this. If you keep seeing the same thing happen. Like, I saw this happen from my early 20s until I'm 30 years old now. So we talking, I've watched this for a whole decade and you don't understand why I'm ticked. You know, so I definitely get that. Neil, I'm going to let you take it away.
Nah, bro, that's facts, man. It's crazy because my spiritual side, it always challenges me to try to walk like Christ. And but this, the whole Black Lives Matter situation, the movement, it was rough, man. And it was a challenge, like, in my faith, because a lot of times too, I kid you guys not, I found myself more than anyone else, I found myself debating with other Christians. I found myself debating with believers, like believers who's not supposed to justify unrighteousness and sin like that. Believers who's not supposed to believe that that killing a man is okay at any rate. But I found myself like debating with these people, and then I've also found myself trying to educate people who's far beyond older than me. And I'm like, wait a minute, you mean to tell me, you know, you've learned nothing? You've never stopped to educate yourself on any of this stuff? Like, I'm telling you guys, I had people call me on the phone like, hey, man, look, I'm trying to really understand this Black Lives Matter stuff. I'm really trying to understand the discrimination and the racism and the racial injustice that's been going on. And I'm almost shocked because I'm like, wait a minute, you're like 45, man. Like, you mean to tell me you know nothing? So, and then sometimes I try to stay open because I'm like, well, maybe they want to hear my perspective. But then as the conversations go on, most of these people, they either two things, either they really don't know, which sometimes bother me. But then secondly, they either want to just hear my opinion or hear my truth. And then they want to debate with me. And then I find those people to start getting angry, and then they want to start arguments and stuff like that. And I kind of just distanced myself from those people because their motive was wrong as to why they called me about trying to, learn and educate themselves. But man, I had so many friends, and it got to a point where it was so overwhelming because my thing is, it doesn't take much to go and start educating yourself. I'm not saying you're going to learn everything right away, but it doesn't take much to go and educate yourself. How come I, someone who had to experience this, have to then go back and teach you? That's pain within itself. That's frustrating. That's hurting us within itself, that I got to experience it and go back and teach it. That, like, you know, the fact that you can fix yourself to come to me to teach it to you, it's almost ignorance and the slap in the face itself, because you can go and Google, you can go read books. There's stuff on Netflix. You can go and watch and just learn. Like, there's so much you can do. Technology is crazy right now. You can go and learn this, as I've had to several times. Why can't you? You mean tell me I gotta teach you and experience it? Like, that's what made me cut it off. I'm like, look, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going back to teach anybody, especially you folks who's older than me who should know this. That's when I really, really started to get to that breaking point where, like, I shut down. I shut my social media off for like a month. I got away from all of that stuff. I was just like, man, this stuff is overwhelming. I wasn't taking any phone calls or messages to like educate people. You know, I just kind of like wiped it all out. And the last one was from a teacher. I teach up at a school in Hagerstown. And the teacher, she reached out to me. She texted me. She said, hey, Neil, she said, I want to learn more about the discrimination and the racial injustice with black people and stuff. I said, OK, fine. She's a friend, good friend of mine. I'm like, all right, fine. So I schedule a time to meet with her. I'm sorry. I scheduled time to put her on the phone. And as we're talking, the things that I was teaching her, it was blowing my mind that I was teaching her those little things that she should know. She's the same age as me, around about the same age as me. These are little things that she should know. And I was almost mind blown that she didn't know. And I was almost like if you want to go deep into some stuff that maybe you, I'm like, all right, I can understand why she wouldn't know that. But I mean, the stuff that she was asking me about and asking me to give her information on was top surface stuff that, you know, you should know because it's right there. It's right in your face and you should know that. And After that, she was like the last person I talked to because it was just overwhelming. It was just draining me. And I was like, man, I can't do it. And then that's when I took a long break. And then I contacted you, Everett, to put the project together. And we did the project because I needed something to just flush, man. I needed something to just flush this out. And the best thing I know how to do is go to what I know best and just try to let that be an outlet. So,
and that was.
Neil, I'm curious. I'm curious. Uh-huh. So, how's your relationship with that professor at this point? Like, after you felt so emotionally drained from having to explain all of this, and this is somebody who, you know, was your teacher at a point, I get from, if I understood correctly, how's your relationship with this individual now?
Our relationship is pretty tight. There was a few moments. She's actually a friend of mine who calls me, and she's a dance director at an art school up in Hagerstown, and she calls me in to come and teach for her. And that's how we become good friends. But our relationship is still good. I followed up a little bit after we talked because there was actually a situation that occurred as of why she called me. So I followed up to see how did they handle the situation. And in my personal opinion, I don't think they handled it well, but that was pretty much it. Like, we still talk off and on, but it's not as like, you know, tight as, you know, I believe that it could be or should be. But yeah. So what happened, I'll give you a brief story. What happened was she called me because a senior had graduated. And once all the Black Lives Matter stuff blew up, that senior posted something on her Instagram, I believe. Well, she posted a video on her Instagram. Very well-spoken, very well-educated young lady. Spoke about the discrimination against Blacks, and she shared her heart. So the school caught wind of it. They saw the video, and they was trying to figure out how to respond. And a few of the other teachers was trying to figure out how to respond. Well, she didn't know how. So she reached out to me and said, hey, I don't know anything about this stuff. Can you help me so I can know how to go back and respond? And so that's how the whole conversation with her came about. I was trying to teach her in the middle of the crisis that they were having with the student at the school. And they were having meetings with the principal and everyone trying to figure out how to handle this. And she came to me for advice. And I gave her the best advice I could. And I told her, I said, you guys have to listen to her and you guys have to make changes within the school to help make that school better for everyone. And this young lady just spilled her guts. She talked about how there was not a lot of Blacks on staff. So she don't have a lot of people to talk to, because the one person that's black on staff is overwhelmed, because she had, you know, it was the counselor that she was talking about that was overwhelmed. So, and it was just so much she talked about, and it was, I think it hit home for everyone. And I was just there to try to educate her the best way I know how. And I followed up on the situation, and I don't really think that they handled it well. But you know how that stuff goes. Let's do a little bit here, but a lot of people don't follow through. They try to touch base on that little incident, but that's just like putting a Band-Aid on it. That's you actually got to go in and fix things to make it better. You can't just put a Band-Aid, because the Band-Aid going to rip, and mm-hmm. it's going to get old. It's going to get, and it's going to come off, and then boom, there you go again. So, mm-hmm. yeah, but it was crazy.
Yeah, instances like this frustrate you, because you're wondering, okay, how many times do we have to march? How many times do we have to have discussions? How many times is it going to take? Because some people, and I've had to cut, and Neil, you know me, I've had to cut ties with some people being ignorant and just saying stuff. And I've had to check people hard, harder than I usually check people. I don't even have even now I don't have the patience that I did in my 20s. And it has a lot to do with the run-ins from being very supportive of the movement. Openly wearing the Black Lives Matter t-shirts. And the problem that I have with people is they get so fixated on the organization, but they forget what the purpose of the slogan was. And that is the most annoying thing, because you completely miss the boat on what the slogan is about. You want to critique the organization, fine, whatever, have at it. I'm focused on the slogan and what the cause is. And if you ain't focused on that with me, I'm judging you. I hate to say it, but I'm looking at you a certain way. I can't help but to. Because what you're telling me is my humanity don't matter. That's what that basically means. So that's where I'm going to leave it at that, and I'm going to move on. Because at the end of the day, what people got to understand is my rights don't stop at your feelings. It don't. You can feel how you want to feel, but that does not dictate my reality that I walk out the door with every single day, and the reality of Neil and the reality of Val and other people. It doesn't, you know what I mean? There, some people really need to sit down, be quiet, and take into account that this is stuff that we deal with every single day. So, you know, then in a nutshell, that's it. And I'll move it on to the final choice of the biggest culture shifting moment, which was the election. Here's how I feel about the election. I'm glad it's over. One thing I do appreciate is I do appreciate the
vote.
Is it
though? Is it over?
Let's hope, because I'm tired of this. It's like watching, you ever babysit? It feels like being a babysitter for 24 hours of two bad kids. That's what it feels like. That's what it feels like. It feels like this is like take two of the worst kids you ever seen that just don't know how to behave, put them in a living room and try to babysit them for 30 hours straight. That's literally what it felt like. With the election, I'm glad that all the hoopla is over, because we never got down to what the issues were. It was this person did this wrong, this person passed this that affected that, and it was never about, okay, that's cool, y'all both suck, but what are these policies going to be around in the future? What are these things that we're going to put in? What are some things that we're going to put into place? Have you talked with so-and-so in this district about these issues in this district that could affect the whole entire state if it's not taken care of? Like little things like that. Like if we're not talking about policy about helping communities, then what are we talking about? I don't have time for watching you guys mudsling each other. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, when it comes to the election, I think the one thing that the good that came out of this, we got huge voter turnout. People came out and supported the candidate that they wanted to support in big droves. And I think that also, I think the election 4 years before made people realize that I actually have to participate. I can't just sit on the sidelines no more and complain when something doesn't happen for me from a state standpoint or a federal standpoint. I have to play the game. I can't sit on the bench no more.
Definitely felt like we are just choosing the lesser of two evils. That's just my opinion. I'm not one to really get into politics, to be honest with you, just because I truly do believe that I have always questioned politics and these systems that have been in place my entire life, and with good reason. And after doing a lot of research, I always seem to understand that the president doesn't always have the final say. There are other powers that be, that literally hold the puppet strings. That said, I think that with this specific political election, presidential election, sorry, you can tell that the media was literally just manipulating the heck out of viewers. If you watch mainstream media, it's just putting people against each other. And we all know that your social media, you'll get like specific advertising that, you know, that goes for Neil, that goes for Everett. So you're going to see things that are targeted towards your point of view, which only created a bigger divide. So what I've always said, and I'm going to continue to say, I do not understand politics in the United States, right? Like my parents, we immigrated here from Colombia. They came here because they wanted to give me the American dream, all of this. And I'm like, Dad, I mean, I'm happy that we're here and we have the life that we have. But the only thing that I've noticed growing up here is racism is alive and well. It hasn't gone anywhere. Only difference is that it's now recorded and everybody has access to it and we could see it, right? And it's so divided. This country, it's literally so divided. And I haven't witnessed this. Well, actually, when Barack won, that was amazing because people really came together. But other than that, I feel like this country is just so divided and it doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, I don't know. I hope that made sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
It makes a lot of sense. I think that I agree 100%. This presidential election was weird, man. It was, it was by far probably the hardest that I've seen in my time. I mean, I'm not that old, but still, you know, this is by far the hardest. And I think that so many people was conflicted with what direction to go in. And it was so like, it was almost like, you know, I think a lot of people's decision really, really came down to the last minute. Like what direction do I go in with this thing? And it's sad to have to feel that way because, you know, everybody looks at, you know, one and they kind of have some hope in them. And, for me personally, I didn't have much hope in neither, especially mm-hmm. Trump. I wasn't in any way going in that direction, but I didn't have it in Biden either. And then too, like, you know, with my faith, you know, playing a huge role, it was really hard. It was really, really hard. And, you know, I always say that, you know, the reason why I don't really get into the whole politics thing is because no one ever really does anything. I had an opportunity to walk with my job. I had an opportunity to represent the organization I work for, and I walked with Brandon Scott, who is now mayor. And I walked with him and his and Delegate Lewis and so many other people from their offices. And as we were walking, I had an opportunity to walk with him and talk with him a little bit and kind of present our organization and tell him what we do and what was coming up, our new projects and all that stuff. And after I got done talking to him, one of the people from his office was walking with me. And she said to me, she said, "What was your experience like talking with the mayor?" The mayor, at that point, they called him the mayor because they was almost certain that he was going to win. So she was like, what was your experience like? And I said, you know what? I said, you know, we had a good talk. I said, but I come from the hood. And I've worked in these communities for a long time. I said, and I've never see much change. I said, sad that I have to, you know, sadly to say it, but there's never really any change. I said, these people come in, they say what they're going to do, they lay down this quote unquote plan, and then 6-7 years from now, they're out of office and it's the same. And it's like, I said, so I'll see it when I believe it. I said, I'm not calling him out and saying that he's a fraud or he's fake, but I am saying what my experience has been with the whole politics and stuff. And, you know, and that's the way I see politics. If I had to say how I view it on a huge screen, that's what it'll look like. People come in, they say what they're going to do, and then nothing changes. You know, it stays the same. Everybody stay divided. All this hate continues to go on, and it's just a mess. And it's a mess. And it's something that, in my opinion, if you can distance yourself from it as much as you can, because it will cause you to go crazy.
Yep. And I got to interject there. So what you said about there's no change. So like the type of changes that I'm looking for, I noticed that with all of these elections, we talk about the economy and immigrant policies and all of this, right? But we're not addressing the people issues. What are the people issues? What type of food are we eating, right? Because everything that is out there is filled with toxins and preservatives, which literally make us sick, right? And we all know that corporations rule America. That's the simple truth. So we're not addressing education. Like, literally, we are still receiving the same education since the educational system started. We haven't changed the structure of the educational system to make people more creative to, you know, like, oh, my God, I will go on a 1-hour rant about this. But our food, healthcare, you know, how can we avoid disease? How can we... like all these things, we don't talk about them, but these are the real issues. This is what's affecting humanity. Like, this is what we should talk about, but nobody talks about these topics. And then the people that do, it's like, you're crazy. No, we're not. Right. Like,
they think it's a conspiracy.
Listen. After a while, I think every conspiracy theorist in America has been proved that, like, we have valid points, and slowly but surely a lot of these systems are falling, and now everybody's like, oh, can you believe this happened? No, we've been saying this. It's happening. We're living it. So at what point are we going to start focusing on this? Like, it's insane. It's insane. But that's what I value in a president. Like, these are the things I want to talk about. I don't care about these giant corporations. And I may sound ignorant by saying, oh, like, fuck the economy, but that's not keeping me alive in a sense. Like, talk to me about my health. Like, what's going to keep my body and my spirit healthy? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think those are the major issues. But I think that what they often do is they put the economy and things of that nature, because you wrap anything around money and everybody's like, you know what I mean? They make a front page, and that's the page they want you to focus on. That's the page that the news show you. That's the page that everyone talks about. That's the page that all the political leaders talk about. And it's sad, because you're right. We never get down to the truth. We never really get down to the things that's actually going to help us and save us and change our world. But yeah. And a lot of times too, I think that for conspiracy theory, I know I brought that up, but one of the things that I really, really think that is great about people who believe in conspiracy theories is that they stay woke. So even if it's, you know,
they're not conspiracies. They're not.
Yeah. and they want us to think that, you know, we're crazy, but we're really woke. We may not have like full on evidence of it, but we're woke, and we're not just like puppets or robots just believing their lies, believing every little thing they tell us, but yet we're actually woke, and we're questioning everything. We research just about everything. Cause I believe it 100%. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be weird, but
No, let me tell you, like, that is my topic. I'll talk about this for hours. One thing that you sparked, there was a thought, fleeting thought. It was about the economy. Oh, who benefits from all of these, from the economy? Who benefits? The 1%. Because I may have a well-paying job. I'm a registered nurse, and I still live paycheck to paycheck. because if I want to buy organic food, then that's going to cost me double what a regular grocery shopping is going to cost me. So I'm not benefiting. Second of all, so conspiracy theories. So literally the technology that we are using right now, because you mentioned technology earlier, so that sparked an idea. The technology that we're using now, it's not that advanced. So literally back then when Wall Street first started and the banking system first started, JP Morgan, which is a banking company, was actually helping Tesla. Are you guys familiar with Tesla?
Yeah, we're familiar.
Okay. He was building this tower so that we can have free energy because, as we know, we have an electromagnetic field. We can tap into this energy. And this scientist actually was working on a machine so that we can have free internet, free energy for everyone. And JP Morgan actually pulled the plug on, you know, the lending because they said, no, because all these other small companies and corporations are not going to make any money. So since this beginning of time, the only thing that rules the world or has ruled the world so far is greed and money. So going back to, you know, what politics place value in. So that's a solid example.
Yeah, you definitely.
That's not conspiracy.
Yeah, you definitely hit the nail on the head.
We're going to talk on them with conspiracy theories.
We'll do another episode of those. We'll do another episode of those. I got some people that plus between y'all and some other people I know, we could definitely get into that. I think that when we look at everything, though, when it comes to politicians and just the climate, you know, there used to be a time where you could say your opinion and either side may have not agreed with your opinion. But it was they would give you the respect to say your opinion and not make you but not belittle you. Now, if you say your opinion politically and it goes anything against what they believe, you get a name called in a very hateful and spiteful way. So here's what I would recommend to close this segment. We'll move on to the other category is if you're going to reach on the other side and have a conversation, please be respectful. Please understand where they are coming from. And if they need to be educated on something, don't educate and belittle at the same time. Because that's not going to get anybody anywhere. Have the foresight to, if there's something that you don't understand or disagree with, do it peacefully. You ain't got to be saucy. You ain't got to be spicy. You ain't got to be all ignorant in the comments. You ain't got to look for a debate. There's like over 300 million people live in the U.S. Like, we're not all going to agree on every single thing. And I'm not making an excuse for ignorance. But I'm just saying that, you know, when it comes to political views, please have respect for one another. And that's all I got to say about that. So with that being said, we're going to switch gears to, it's just a quick, this next category is best TV series of 2020. The nominees are, and guys, if you know of another show that was really good, go ahead and chime in as to what you think was the best one. A, we have The Undoing. B, we have Your Honor. C, we have Lovecraft Country. D, we have P-Valley. There was buzz about it, so I put it in there. And E, The Stand. So y'all let me know what y'all think is the best TV series of the year. It could be something that's not on this list as well. So
Neil, you can start because I literally haven't watched any of these shows.
I'm sitting here like, I'm guessing she's gonna start because that's a lot of shows and I ain't watching any of them.
I've been watching anything but, I mean,
look, and other shows. I'm gonna be honest with you, like, since COVID, like, I've been so busy, mm-hmm. so I really haven't watched much of anything. There's one, I think it's a few years old, but I believe the last season came out 2020, but it was the 100.
I finished that. My gosh, yes.
Yeah, and that's that's by far, that was, because I just finished that, that I have to say that was my, because I watched that throughout the whole pandemic. So for me, that will probably have to go in my top, you know, five, or I'm gonna say it has to be at number one, because I didn't watch too much of anything else. It was just that, and I was so mad that my boy Beverly died. So
wait, don't. So I'm only in season two.
Boy, you spoiled it.
I thought you watched it. I thought you watched it.
You gotta ask first. You gotta ask. But you gotta see how far they go.
You still gotta go finish it, because that I don't want to spoil it too much, but I'm gonna say this because it has to be my recovery from. For giving it away a little bit, but there may be a spinoff. That's all I'm gonna say. So, and you know how that stuff gets, you know, because they can do all this crazy stuff.
The concepts that were touched on the show, like, don't get me wrong, it's a little PG at times. Like, the writing is like, oh, it could be a little better. But I have to say that the concepts in the show were super interesting. So, like, at first I was like, oh, I don't really know if I can get into this. But as the season, sorry, my dog's going crazy. As the season like progresses and they're getting into the topic of the City of Light, and I'm like, oh my God. You, okay. I don't know if
is
you
that
know.
You stopped?
Yes, right now I just got to that season where what's his name? Thaddeus? Is it Thaddeus?
The Alonis.
Okay. Reach the City of Light. And then you notice that the City of Light is this place where he's in deep meditation, and he goes into like this other plane, and I'm like, oh wow, like the TV and shows, like they always have a way of putting these really interesting topics that are not, you know, they're not false by any means, right? But they put them in a show so that you're like, oh, it's a TV show, it can't be real. You get what I'm saying? The truth is always out there, it's in front of you, but it's so clear in front of you that you can't see it, or some people can't. So that's why I'm intrigued by the show, because I'm like, oh wait, I'm like, oh, this is getting interesting.
Yeah.
There's another show in Netflix. What's it called? It reminded me of Game of Thrones. Hold on. Justin, what's the name of that show with Uhtred?
Oh, Last Night. The Last Kingdom.
Oh, that is. Is it The Last Kingdom? Kingdom? Is that what it's called?
The Last Kingdom.
Yes. That.
I got to check that out.
I saw that. I finished it too, so I'm not going to say anything.
No, we're waiting for the next season. That, for me, was the best show that I've watched this year. And I don't even know if it came out in 2020, but I know I watched it in 2020. But that was very good.
I have to look that one up. I don't know if that finished in 19 or not, but I watched that too. And I finished the whole thing. So maybe I'm at the top of 2020. I'm not sure, but I have to look into that one. But I do know that they're doing another season.
Solid.
Well, y'all definitely bodied that category. I don't even need to say mine because didn't even pale comparison. So with that said, we'll go move on to the best movie of 2020. So the categories are A, Soul. B, for those of you who are sports fans, Chicago Bulls, The Last Dance. C, the Chris Nolan film, Tenet. D is the crazy documentary film on Joey Exotic and a bunch of other crazy white people known as Tiger King. And E,
you're so racist, bro.
Oh, you kidding me? I talked to my white friend and he was like, yo, these white people are crazy. And he was like, E, the Five Bloods, a Spike Lee film, and one of Chadwick, it also featured Chadwick Boseman in this film as well. What do you think is the best movie of 2020? Also, feel free to talk about something that wasn't on the list.
What was that last one? What was the last one?
The Five Bloods. It was like,
all right.
It was like a Spike Lee film, like five like African-American friends that were in the army together. They go back and seek like treasure from this island. The like Chadwick Boseman is technically like and I'm eerie that I'm saying this, he passes away in the actual story of the Five Bloods. So
you spoiled it. Right.
Oh, sorry.
I'm gonna say A, Soul, and D, Tiger King. Tiger King, just because that was pure comedy. Like, I think a lot of people watched it because they're like, what is this? And then the more that you watch, you're like, I just got to finish watching. And you don't even know why. You just spend hours watching this, but you just have to finish it. That's how I felt. But Soul, I don't know if you guys have watched it. That is one of the most beautiful movies I have ever watched. I think the topics
star in it.
That's in Pixar. So it's actually like a Pixar movie.
You can watch it on Disney Plus.
Yeah. So it's really funny because my brother literally just recommended this movie on Sunday. And I was like, oh, okay, sure. I'm looking for something to watch. The moment I started watching it, I couldn't stop crying. I cried the entire time. I think for a kid's movie, it touched on topics that go way beyond what a child can comprehend, which fascinates me because kids' brain are like a sponge. So if you're hearing these topics, you know, these metaphysical topics, they're talking about chakras, reincarnation, your soul's purpose, spirituality. Kids are like, ooh, what? And it can spark something in them. And I think it was super enjoyable for kids and for adults because I think as adults, we all take our life way too seriously sometimes. We really do. And we put focus on things that, in my opinion, you know, they matter in this physical world. But depending on what you believe, we're eternal. And what we do here doesn't define our soul's purpose and what we're, you know, what's going to happen to us when we die, where we're going to go. And it was just a very beautiful, beautiful movie. I really enjoyed the topics that were covered.
Yeah, absolutely. I just got finished watching it, and it was definitely it's one of those things you have to watch it again because there's so many hidden messages. Like you're gonna have to do a second view, just on not just the afterlife, but what is the purpose of life? And some people get so caught up with their profession that they miss out on the little things. Some people look at what I'm doing right now, and yes, I'm doing a podcast, but I'm actually sitting over here talking about, I'm sitting over here talking with two people that I have great friendship with. And that supersedes the fact that I'm doing a podcast. Because I'm sitting over here, I'm having fellowship, I'm making memories, I'm joking around, I'm laughing, I'm just pretty much like chilling with friends right now. But somebody who's more focused on the title and professions and stuff like that, be looking at it like, oh, he's working, he's doing a podcast, you know, and there's a, you know, for example, I use Neil's example. There is a certain level of when he's doing his dancing, it's not just him moving around and doing lit moves all the time and to, you know, create an income because it's his profession. There's a certain connection with people that he has on a spiritual and a mental level, that dance is the instrument that is used for that. So that is what the bigot, you know, and that's pretty much the whole point of this movie is it's something bigger than just what you do. It's how you made people feel, and you're just using your talent as an instrument to draw them in. So that's what I took away from Soul.
You got another movie. Go.
If I had to pick a second one, because for selfish reasons, because I'm a sports guy, definitely picking The Last Dance.
I was gonna say the same thing. And I honestly, like I told you guys, the only thing I really watched was the 100. So I barely watched The Last Dance. But I saw clips of it. I kind of got into it a little bit, right? Because I'm a basketball fan. So I got into it a bit. And the little bit I was able to watch was pretty good. But I never finished it at all. But just to go back to what you just said about seeing the bigger picture, one of my favorite speakers, one of my favorite preachers, teachers always say that if all you see is what you see, then you have not seen all there is to be seen. And that sums up what you just said. That was good news right there, brother. That'll preach.
Yeah, that's
if all you see is what you see, you have not seen all there is to be seen.
Facts. Yeah. Definitely, man. Definitely. We're going to move on to the next award. Best Songs of 2020. The nominees are Drake, Laugh Now, Cry Later, featuring Lil Durk. Sweetie, Tap In. The Weeknd, Blinding Lights. Rockstar, DaBaby featuring Roddy Ricch, Do It, Chloe and Haley, Go Crazy, Chris Brown featuring Young Thug. This is very hip hop and R&B ish. So
I know all of those. I know all of those, but I'll let you start.
Me? I can only speak for Blinding Lights, honestly. I think The Weeknd has been slept on for many, 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 many years, and now he's finally hitting mainstream. And even though he's still not getting the, you know, award recognition that he should be getting, the fans who truly follow him know that he is way beyond other artists. It's taken him a long while to be, you know, hit this commercial level of fame. So I'll choose The Weeknd for that. And because my fiance is obsessed with The Weeknd and he literally blackmailed me into saying this.
He's standing right there. He probably standing next to you. Say The Weeknd. Oh, say it.
He literally, I'm not even kidding, he just handed me this. He's like,
oh my goodness.
He's opening. So I had to do it.
That's hilarious. If I had to pick one, this one was hard for me because I could easily go with the Drake song and be like, well, that bopped for like a good summer. But then I look at Sweetie Tap In, like that was like a popular dance record. Like everybody was dancing to that song. So it, you know, I have to go. I'm going to go Sweetie Tap In, which is very unconventional for me. Cause that's like, I was like, ever you picked that record? Cause everybody thinks I would have picked like the Drake record or the Go Crazy Chris Brown record. But I'm gonna go Sweetie Tap In just because I heard it a lot. People danced to it. People were bumping into it at cars. It was either that or Rockstar. Cause at the first quarter of the year, that was bumping everybody's car too. And then you had two of like the, which I'll get to later, two of the, you know, hot acts on the same song. So.
Okay. Wow, that's a hard one for me because I kind of rocked out to all of them. But I'm going to have to go with I like how DaBaby changed Rockstar for the BET Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Like if he did it, and that's the version I've been listening to a lot. So if he didn't change it like that, I probably would have went with Chris Brown, Go Crazy. But I'm going to go with DaBaby and Roddy Ricch on Rockstar because I liked the last version they did with the whole Black Lives Matter stuff. It's pretty neat the way he put a like a slight acapella in the beginning and then it went into the song. It was pretty neat.
Yeah, so there you have it. I think the battle is really between Blinding Lights because of commercial success and Rockstar. Sweetie's probably number three. With that being said, we'll go into the best music artist of 2020. The nominees are Roddy Ricch, DaBaby, The Weeknd, Bad Bunny. I don't think anybody's going to pick this person, but still had a good 2020. Ariana Grande, final nominee.
Yo, are you funny? Why you put it out there like that, man?
I'm looking at this list and I'm going, I would pick her out of this list. 2020 hottest artist?
I gotta say, I don't listen to Ariana Grande at all. I'm gonna go with Bad Bunny.
It's a good choice.
Bad Bunny, he's a reggaeton artist. So I guess what I can say about Bad Bunny for the Spanish listeners, for the Hispanic listeners out there, the same way that hip hop went through so many changes where you had like good conscious rap and then you had your mumble rappers, then you had your mainstream rappers and you're like, fuck, why can't we get back to good sounding stuff? That's what Bad Bunny did for reggaeton, because reggaeton back then, it was raunchy. You wanted to dance. You were feeling it. You would feel it in your body. And then it started to get mainstream. It changed. And Bad Bunny just brought you back to high school, college parties. And he's always playing with different sounds. And he doesn't really care if you don't like the new sound that he's coming out with, because he's just so authentic. And he talks about a lot of important topics, like a lot of things that affect Puerto Rico in specific. So I also have a lot of respect for that. He's very involved with his people, and, you know, he uses his platform not only, you know, for his creativeness, but he really helps his community. So yeah, Bad Bunny for me.
Okay. I'm going with the baby. I know I slided the weekend, but he's been slided enough, I know. But I'm going, if I had to pick somebody, I'm going with the baby. Roddy Ricch dominated the first quarter of 2020, especially with that song The Box early on in 2020. That was bumping in. Oh, my God. One time I was in Florida and I heard that, and it was bumping in Florida. I was like, oh, grief. Yeah, I'd hit with that song. But I have to go to the baby just because of impact, presence. I have to go there.
Yeah, I think that he really, I'm going to have to go to baby too, only because I think that, well, first of all, let me say that I can actually understand what he's saying. Cause I really don't do the mama rapper. I come from like the Pac and Biggie, like that's my lane. But of course, as a dancer, I'm open to everything. And I'm gonna have to go with the baby only because he gave us, I feel like he's been giving us so many hits that you can just vibe to on so many different levels. You know what I mean? So I'm gonna have to go with him. Plus, I mean, he's been, I think he's been like the new thing that people really, really, really is taken to. And in my opinion, like I said, because I can understand what he's saying, I really enjoy his vibe, his flow. You know the level he's on. It's pretty neat. He can't be out there punching fans in the face and stuff, though. I mean, if they're attacking him, that's one thing. But he out there punching fans in the face. We gotta stop that part. You know, I think he hit a woman too. So that ain't cool.
Well, if you listen to the lyrics, it's sure that you repeated.
I'm gonna keep it on his art.
Okay, got it.
Keep it on his art though, because sometimes they slander people's talent. Because of their mistake, and I'm not right. I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna keep his talent separate from his mistake.
Well, another conversation.
So, do you want me to edit out that part for the baby start writing a verse about you with the Shug beat? No, I ain't gonna do that. So, with that being said, we'll move on to the next award. A little bit of a somber one. Biggest loss of a celebrity or public figure in 2020. The nominees are Kobe Bryant, Chadwick Boseman, John Lewis, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and Eddie Van Halen. Now, you can pick another name that has passed on. You want me to kick this off?
You can.
I understand now if Chadwick Boseman was not on this list, I would have easily said Kobe Bryant. For me, it's between Chadwick or Kobe because both of those were very unexpected. With the other ones, they were older and, you know, they were political figures that had been around for years. And Eddie Van Halen, I didn't listen to a lot of Van Halen music in my household. It was a lot of hip hop culture and R&B and soul. So I don't really have a chance to listen to Van Halen in my household. But to me, I'm going to lean more towards Chadwick. Kobe is like the popular answer. But for me personally, as a filmmaker, like losing Chadwick and at the height of him being, he literally just made it to being this. He always had the talent for it, but he was at that spot where the world recognized him as an A-list quality celebrity and an actor. Not a joke, like a serious actor, A-class, period. So, you know, that loss hit home for me personally. And we know how Black Panther is.
For me, I mean, I guess I'm not gonna lie. I don't have an emotional attachment to any of the people mentioned, but I'll just say Kobe's name because, you know, my brother, who's 2 years older than me, was absolutely heartbroken over this. My fiance was like in actual tears. So as somebody who can like deeply empathize with other people's feelings, you know, I felt what they were feeling and what people, you know, were feeling over his death. So for that reason, I'll choose Kobe. Although, rest in peace to everybody.
Yep.
Yeah. I would say it's between both of them. I think Chadwick Boseman is, for him, I think what hit home for a lot of people is knowing what he was going through while he was giving us all that greatness. That was tough, I think, finding that out. But for me, I'm going to have to go with Kobe, only because, like, Kobe was like my Michael Jordan. So, like, if you ask me who's my favorite player, I will always say Kobe because when I really got into basketball, Kobe was the guy. So, I've always gone with Kobe. I mean, I've always been a big fan, you know. Like, his last year playing, his last season, I mean, I traveled all the way up to Boston for 2 days just to watch him play because I knew he was retiring. You know, I don't even have a Ravens jersey yet, but I got a Kobe jersey, right? So, and the last straw for me was the fact, like, how Kobe died. It was just, for me, it was like, oh, my goodness. Like, it was like, oh, my, it gripped my heart in such a way. And I never really cry when celebrities pass away. But I got to be honest with you guys. I was in the airport. I was on my way home from doing business. And I was in the airport when I got the news. And I didn't even believe it. My wife called me. She was like, hey, babe. She said, did you get the news about Kobe? I was like, no. She said, what? She said, Kobe passed away. And I literally told her, I said, babe, stop playing. And then one of my best friends, who is also a big Kobe fan, was dialing in as I was on the phone with my wife. So I knew something was really wrong, something was true. And I remember just being, the reason I'm sharing that story is because I remember just being completely shut down. I was like quiet the whole plane ride home. And my brother was next to me, but I remember just being like, I was just so quiet. I didn't say anything when I got picked up. And I remember getting home and seeing it on TV, and I just broke down. I'm not even gonna lie. I really caved in. And I think what hit me the most is his daughter was born the same year my daughter was born. They were the same age, and he died with his daughter. And I have a daughter who's the same age. So for me, that all that hit home for me. It was like, wow, I couldn't imagine that with my daughter. So many people say that they believe Kobe died twice because that moment he realized he couldn't save his daughter. And then, of course, actually dying. So for me, that it has to go with Kobe.
Yeah. And on that note, man, we just want to say rest in peace to everybody we lost in 2020. It is a huge list of people that shaped our livelihood, our culture, the way that, you know, people that inspired us, everything in that source, man. Rest in peace to all those honorable and phenomenal people that made the world a better place, man. Everybody on this list and everybody who's not on this list. You know, we lost everybody from Little Richard to Debo from Friday, Tommy Lester to Brody Lee to, you know, I mean, name them. Sean Connery, like, you know, just going down the list. Too many names, man. Too many names. But definitely rest in peace to those we lost. Well, switching gears here and trying to bring the energy back up. Funniest moment of 2020. The nominees are, and I'm going to add one in there. A fly lands on Mike Pence's head. Snoop Dogg's commentary from the Tyson. Let me repeat that. Snoop Dogg's commentary from the Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. fight. And his commentary on Nate Robinson versus Jake Paul. C is Johnita Charles, You About to Lose Your Job, remixed by Sway, the remix god, that song. And then the other moment is Dogface 208 lip syncing Fleetwood Mac Dreams while sipping on Ocean Spray. Cranberry juice. Pretty sure it was like cranberry juice or fruit punch he was sipping on. Whatever it was funny. And this is the extra one I'm going to add in there. All I need to say is the guy with the twisted tee to smack the crap out of that dude in the 7-Eleven or whatever that place was. Yeah, that's the yeah.
I saw that.
We're gonna add that in there.
Circulating. That sounds familiar, but I'm like terrible with these things.
Yeah.
I'm gonna just go off the bat. I'm picking that one. That one was funny to me. That man tried to yo, here's what's funny about it, right? He was drunk, talking trash, using the N-word. So that ain't the funny part. Here's the funny part. He tried to kick the can and missed. His hand-eye coordination was trash. This man tried to kick the can. It's on the ground. It ain't going nowhere. He misses it. This dude behind him is telling him, he's like, yo, don't say the word. Don't freaking say the word. Yo took that twisted T. And when I say he smacked them back from Ireland and came back in that dag, came back. Yo, I've never heard a beer can slam into somebody that hard. I didn't even know it was that possible till I heard the impact. It sounded like a daggone car crash. It sounded like a deafening thud, bro. He looked over like, I really got hit. I said, bro, the only reason why you probably not knocked out is because you're so drunk. If you were sober, you're done. You're knocked out. You're not getting back up. Sayonara. No, you're done. Go to sleep. We'll see you in 2021. Like, it's over. Like, you know, I know it's the most recent one, but Lord have mercy, that was funny. Because he really looked up. Yo, how he looked up after he got hit was the funniest part. Because he looked up around. He was like this, like, I seriously just got hit. He gonna try to wrestle him. Man got rushed to the ground and punched 3 times in the face to make matters worse. I was like, oh my God. Idiot. Y'all pick one. That was too funny for me.
Sometimes I feel like I live under a rock because I haven't watched any of the other ones except for the fly on Mike Pence's head. And that I wasn't even watching the debate. I just saw it on like Facebook or something. So I'll choose that just because it was a little comic relief because, you know, we take everything way too seriously and that fly didn't care.
That fly was bold. I gotta go with the fly too because the memes after that
gold,
bro, I was cracking up, man. I'm at to go with the fly, man. I'm at to go with the fly.
Here's a question that I have. Flies are usually attracted to bad scents, correct?
Yeah.
So can somebody explain to me if a fly is near you and constantly landing on you? I know at this moment, up until January, he is the vice president, but I always like y'all know how I am. Y'all got to check your hygiene so you don't end up like him on national television with flies attracted to you. Like I'm telling y'all are getting yourselves embarrassed out here. Y'all getting exposed for this terrible hygiene y'all got. Y'all need to stop that. It's getting ridiculous. Wash it behind. That's the moral of the story, please.
Grab the baby wipes.
Do something. Like, use the toilet paper. Like, use it. Don't wipe twice and then pull your pants up. No. Skin marks all in you.
Back to the baby wipes. Yeah, man. I mean, I feel like flies go wherever they want, though. But, you know, I mean, it must have been something about them because the fly never, it didn't leave. And it didn't go over to Kamala Harris. So, I mean, I guess it was him. Maybe he did smell like something. Maybe he had too much gel or something on his head. I don't know, man. But
if at his age,
sticking around for a reason.
At his age, if he came out there smelling like the pins, dirty the pins, it's a freaking problem. It's ridiculous. Now, I'm telling y'all, I'm not playing with y'all. Y'all got the warning in 2020. You better wash it behind. If you don't wash it behind in 2021, don't talk to me. If I smell something, I'm telling you. Look, man, you smell like stir-fried crap. Get that taken care of.
You terrible, bro.
I'm just saying. I got to be honest with people. Hey, look.
Yeah.
Any of my friends, like, I remember one time I was working somewhere, And you know how when you sitting over there, when you sitting over there taking stuff out of the washer, if you don't take it out at a certain point, it'll smell funny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It'll do.
So a friend told me right there and there, he's like, fam, you might want to check that. Yo, I said, say less. I went over there, bought a spray, sprayed my whole pants down. I put extra like almost used half the bottle to make sure that that wasn't a problem. You best believe when I went back home, I washed it properly and dried it properly. So if I'm being that transparent and telling y'all that story and being that transparent, y'all ain't got no excuse, and I'm saying this not towards y'all, I'm saying this towards whoever's hearing this. Y'all ain't got no excuse in 2021 not to wash it behind or check or do maintenance on your clothes. Don't be leaving your clothes no 5 days in the washer, then you think it's still clean and putting them on. No, don't do that. Use toilet paper and wipes, please. And deodorant and actual soap and body wash, please.
Tell you something else.
I'm just saying.
That was redemption for Everett. He needed that.
Come on. He needed that. He brought it home, man.
Because I get tired of that, man. You sit back, you know, I'm not trying to, look, I ain't trying to put a lot of people on blast, but I've had moments where, man, somebody come around the corner ain't washed. I'm like, fam, you ain't checked. Like, you know. So it is what it is. And there you have it. This is it. These are the categories. We've handed out all the awards. This is it. All the awards have been handed out for the 2020 Airstrike Awards. I want to thank you guys for coming on and having fun with me going over these categories. It's been a momentous year, a memorable year for a plethora of reasons. Let me ask you guys this. Is there anything that you guys got going on that you want to plug before we get up out of here? Anything?
You mean like creative projects that we're
any,
working
any
on?
Any creative projects you got going on?
Oh, man. I like to use my social media and just share a lot of, you know, positive things. And like one thing I'm actually Everett, that was a great question. I'm trying to use my Facebook and my Instagram more to spread, you know, body positivity, because I think that, you know, women, teenagers, all of us, we tend to, you know, look at the women that we see on television and on social media, and we think that that is the beauty, the standard of beauty. And we don't realize how this is really affecting so many people, like, you know, teenagers and women's self-esteem. And I'm somebody who is, you know, recovering from an eating disorder. And, you know, I'm getting back to learning how to love myself and not live, you know, via society standards of what beauty is, what perfection is. So I'm trying to use my social media to spread awareness, spread positivity, and spread my journey. So that's that.
Absolutely. We definitely appreciate that. Go support that. People, support Valentina. And definitely, man. Excuse me. Definitely. Neil, you got anything going on?
I got a few things coming up. Don't want to spoil too much of the things, but I have some new projects coming up that I'm going to be doing for 2021. I kind of want to go into 2021 spontaneously. I don't really want to talk about, you know, a lot about what's going to happen. I think we all did that 2020. So I kind of want to keep everything up in the air and wherever the chips fall, it's where they fall, and just kind of ride this thing out spontaneously. Just to congratulate Val, keep up the great work. I believe in that mission. I believe in that mission 100%. I think that we ought to learn to use these platforms for those reasons. And yes, you're 100% right. I think that people get caught up in what people look like on social media and all those things and TV. And it does. It put a lot of pressure on these young ladies that, you know, makes them feel like that that's the look. That has to be the look, and they don't know how to value themselves. Mm-hmm. Keep that mission going. I appreciate that. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also let us know in any way, shape, or form how we can support that movement. I would like to, if you're open to it, like actually having a conversation at a later, you know, we pick a date far out and we talk about in depth body positivity, and I could sit there and ask you questions about it. We can bring other people, other females on, because that's the thing, man. This coming year, I want to bring more female guests on. So if we can have more conversations and get that from a female, more of a female perspective going into this next year, I definitely want to do that. So
absolutely. I have a lot of friends who would love to get on the podcast and talk about these things. So definitely.
Absolutely. I'm going to definitely get on that then. All right. Well, with that being said, guys, thank you so much for listening. We definitely appreciate everybody that took time out of their day, out of their evening to listen to an episode of Audio Airstrike. We will see you once again in 2021. Happy New Year. Stay safe. Stay blessed. Wash your behind. Y'all take care.
God bless you guys. Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
All right.